series of lessons on the basics of Kabbalah.
Maka.
What's going on?
Добрый день,
дорогие. Good afternoon, dear friends. We are apparently starting the virtual lesson. There are some announcements that I wanted to say. The European Congress in Berlin from the 19th through the 21st of June. Likewise, it's all going to be in Russian. All lectures will be in Russian. A lecture, which is also free for everyone that's in Berlin, on the evening of June 21st, after the end of the Congress, in the same spot, there will be a lecture at 7 p.m., my lecture on the theme of the future society in Germany. Everyone is invited. Entrance is free. Other than this, the recording continues of the Congress, so the address which you see on the screen, you can sign up for the Congress. And since during the Congress, we've installed two cultural programs, two cultural evenings, then everyone, no matter what country you're in, to bring with yourself any sort of carnival masks, costumes, especially something traditional for your country and culture, so that we can have a carnival there on the second night of the Congress. So please don't forget. And carnival costumes and masks. So I'm already anticipating a very pleasant evening, and I invite all of you to join us for the Congress and this evening and these cultural evenings and on the public talk, which is going to be at the end of the Congress on the evening of the 21st. Because our purpose here is to organize and strengthen our German group in Berlin and strengthen dissemination on all of Western Europe, Eastern Europe. And now we return to our topic. This is the introduction to the Book of Zohar, point 13. As usual, my student and friend is next to me, Alexander Kozlov. He's moderating here for me, so please write everything to him. And he'll be asking me questions, and I'll try to answer them. Okay, lots of greetings are coming to us, and the questions are beginning to roll in. I see before me the group of St. Petersburg, the big Moscow group, and what's especially nice to me is the United Group of Kyiv. This is not the group that was consisting of, the seniors that were there. And we really hope that they'll create one united, strong group, which they'll be able to work with. And for now, they're trying to unite, so we have to help them. We have to think about how they can overcome all of their problems and to connect together. Because we know from our example, even if somebody that creates a hole in the boat under himself, he sinks the whole boat. So they have to think not about just what they're doing, that they can how they can help themselves, but that they help the whole world kli. If there's a chance to unite, if distance doesn't bother them, but the distance of their hearts just matters, this has to be fixed. So, neglecting the fact, despite the fact that the heart speaks of something and you do something else, this is effort. This is inner effort which a person has to perform on himself. So I hope that all of our friends in these places, disassembled previous groups or young groups that haven't come together yet, they'll think and understand that this isn't just some simple technical step, but this is actually a spiritual action when people connect among themselves. And so, point 13 of the introduction to the Book of Zohar. The question is asked by Baal Sulam, how, in the thought of creation and the perfection of the Creator, could there have been an imperfect desire created, a desire to receive pleasure? And he answers that in the thought of the Creator, all of reality is created instantly. And when we enter this reality from our world, we see that thoughts of a person are instantaneous. They emanate out of his heart, and they connect to all the other hearts and millions of strings, these connections, all these other desires are connected in this way. And it doesn't matter what he's thinking or what he'd want to predict. What's important is that his heart at that moment sends out a signal not related to his thought. Before the thought knows what's happening, the heart already connects with others and sends them signals. We can't influence our heart with our thoughts, with our decisions. The only thing that we can do is to influence the outside environment, which would force our heart to So here we are drawing a kli, in which the Creator is revealed. The Creator exists in this kli. Creator. He fills it. This kli is created of hearts. It's composed of hearts, our desires, and so on. Many, many, many. These hearts are connected among themselves. If I, each of us, don't exist in this connection with everybody else, let's say this is me, if I can connect my heart, can enter it into a connection with the others, then I'll feel this Creator which governs over all of them. If I, with my heart, am unable to put it into this construct, then I create a hole in my place and harm everyone else. And to the degree that I made this hole, I distance myself on this distance, L. On this distance, I am distanced from my place in the kli. Now, I, with my heart, can influence this directly through my heart. And all the other hearts influence my heart directly. They're called the environment. Rav writes, surroundings. So, I must act on my environment, not with my heart, but with my thoughts, my brain, my reason, my mind. I influence the environment. The environment influences me on my heart, influences my heart, and then my heart already strives to fill its space in the kli. So I'm compelled, I'm obligated to be in an environment which compels me, which compels my heart to take its place in the kli. This is called Malchut. This kli, this vessel, Malchut of the world of Atzilut, or Malchut, kli, let's say, the general kli. And what fills this malchut is Zerampin, or the Creator, or the light. And that's it. So it's worth it, overcoming our egoism, to perform a calculation only on spiritual advancement, spiritual attainment, and not on our minute egoistic all sorts of calculations. And so, for the implementation of the Creator's thought, no action is necessary. So the creation of existence happened instantaneously with his thought, and the creation of the souls. And the souls were created in all of their perfection instantly. And these souls feel him only after their correction, which is given to them by the Creator. Point 14. And thus, you'll see that they pass three states. The first state, their presence in infinity in the thought of creation, where they already have the future form of the end of correction. This is the beginning. This is already the end. With respect to the Creator, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. This is the world of infinity. Onward. With the help of two parallel systems, two worlds, Atzilut, Briya, Yitzhara, Asiya, Atzilut, Briya, Yitzhara, Asiya, where here is the desire to receive, the left line, and this is the desire to give, bestowal, two opposing forces. And these forces exist in our world too. Attraction, repulsion, plus, minus, male, female, everything exists in its opposite, with its opposite. And there's nothing more than this. Everything is built on these two opposing forces. And so the souls divide. And in our world, this is our world. In our world, there occurs a work of the correction of souls. All this work, which we perform, it happens, look, along three lines. You can make it in this direction back, actually. Here, let me erase all this back. We won't go in this direction. We'll draw it in one direction. So, these lines, the right and the left, come from above into our world, and we from our world must move according to the middle line, which is composed of both of them. The middle line. It includes in itself egoistic desires and an altruistic intention. If I connect them correctly, then I ascend along this middle line, from myself upwards. This motion, for the purpose of understanding all of this and to begin to ascend up and ending in our perfect state, after the world's descended here, on this level, and would ascend back to the world of infinity. Over all of this history, we are given 6,000 years.
6,000 years of conscious spiritual ascent, beginning with Adam. He began it first. We're not talking about existence of matter. We're talking about existence of the souls that began to correct themselves. These are the first soul, Adam. Where writes the first soul, Adam, the first soul, and the last soul, here we have the last soul. Can you imagine how egoistic it is to be the last? There's a sound, there's a noise here even. This distance between Adam and the last soul needs to take 6,000 years. Throughout this period, the soul is corrected, and the desire is corrected, but not the bodies, only the souls. And after all that, at the end, the desire itself is corrected. It's called Gemar Tikkun, the final correction. Rav writes Gemar Tikkun. And all of that we need to cover, to advance through it. And so the primordial desire corrects itself and becomes worthy of all the pleasure in the end of creation. And so it receives the delight and pleasure and goodness and coolness of form of the Maker. And when we pass all that, when we ascend along that line and reach the end correction, the Gemar Tikkun, we reach here adhesion. Adhesion with the Creator. Adhesion with the Creator means equivalence with the Creator, absolutely equivalence, equality with Him, all parameters. This is what we have to reach still living in this life cycle or further. But let's hope that we will be able to realize that in this life already. Three states that the souls go through in their development are so interconnected that if one would not exist, the rest would disappear. So we have the first state, the world of infinity, the second state, all of that from back and forth, and the third state when we return to the world of infinity. So the first situation is the initial state, and the second situation is the work, and the third state is adhesion. Bhadaslam writes as follows. They mutually completely necessitate the existence of the other. If the one of the work cancelled, let's say the first situation would be cancelled, and the third state would not appear in its perfection. The second state would not be able to exist between them, because it necessitates and determines the third state. So he says, all of these three states are mutually completely determined. And relative to the Creator, there's only one state. Relative to the Creator, we are existing in one state, just one state, what He has made, the first one. Oh, let's say, it's the only one that exists, the only state that we exist in, in complete perfection, adhesion with the Creator, perfect and eternal. But we need to together determine it, define it, sense it, feel it, reveal it, and open it. This is what the science of Kabbalah helps us to do. Relative to our true and actual state, we are as if dreaming. If we wake up from that dream, we will find ourselves eternal, endless, infinite, perfect, and complete. And this is exactly what is actually going on, what exists. But now we can't see this right state, this true state of ours, because the egoism conceals it from us. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the science that opens before us the true world, our true state. So the question arises, if all of the souls in their development are destined to achieve the third state, where is and what is the freedom of choice of man? If the first state had existed before I was born. I was still an embryo. And the second state is a descent into this world, and I appear and begin to think and determine something. And the third state is predetermined, even if I'm ascending towards it, moving towards it, and I'm realizing it and implementing it. It's determined, it's fixed. So where's the freedom of my freedom of choice? What do I change in this? There's nothing for us to change, nothing for man to change. If we're talking about one state, spiritual state that exists, the only one that it exists actually, relative to us, in our changes, our advancement to the state, we are approaching it, and that approaching, our approaching to that state, draws, as if it draws and pictures before us a changing world. It's relative to us. Seemingly, I'm approaching, the object I'm approaching is changing in my senses, but it's only in my senses, no more than that, and then four. Freedom of choice is not in changing that true, eternal, and perfect state, that the only one that exists. And the rest actually exists only relative to my senses, my organs of sense that are incapable of grasping that perfection. And therefore, Balasam writes, the thing is that the Creator prepared two paths for us to, from the first state, from the second state to the third state. The second state in which we are, and the third state in which we have to reach here, there's a motion, or through the path of torment or suffering, or through the path of light or Kabbalah. Here is the only place where the freedom of choice is, and this ascent of ours from our world into the world of infinity, only here there's the freedom of choice, the freedom of will. Not in the initial state and not in the end state, but in the form of ascension. Which way I'm participating in it? Willingly, on my own, desiring it to happen on me, or it will happen upon me, it will be done to me, and I will be just moving forwards because of the blows. And this is the whole realization of the wisdom of Kabbalah. You shouldn't think that Kabbalah actually cardinally, drastically changes something in the creation. It doesn't change anything. We're in one state, it's our world. And we have to reach the end state. It's the world of infinity. And here, we're faced with just one choice. Either to advance along the path of suffering, the path of pain, when we're pushed ahead by egoism, or the path of light. Rav writes, the path of light. And that's it. Nothing more than that. And here lies the freedom of will, Rav writes. In between the freedom of will. Here's the freedom of will. Or either that way or this way. Here it is. Nothing more than that. Because this is fixed. It's constant. Here it's also constant. It's a constant. We can choose only between off these two paths. Do we have any questions? Go ahead. Yes, we do. Let's answer a few questions before we reach the first half hour. Matt from Norway asks, what do you intend under the path, the earthly path? Can you reach the spiritual in this life? We are obligated to cover, to finish, complete that path from our world, from this last degree, until the world of infinity. Being in the body, therefore we are born and we die until we do it. In other words, if a person actually reaches the last degree before the law of the world of infinity, he has just one degree to cover, to ascend, and for some reason he dies, he's obligated to be born in our world, in our body, corporeal body, and in this body, perform that, make that last state further. We have a question from virtual group and from Arab countries, a few countries, it's united. Dear professor, you said that all of the people are just one body. What determines the place of a person in that body, and what represents its brain? That common body of all of the souls, so that you won't be confused. Can we see the virtual group of Arab countries? No, we can't. What Creator did, Creator made, just one world, the world of infinity. That world is the sum total of all of the souls. It's the sum total of all of the souls. It's just one singular soul. Sorry, it is composed of parts, and they are called 613 desires. And this is what the body of the soul represents. It's the 613 desires. When these desires begin to think about how to receive the light, how to bestow it, how to unite with the Creator, what arises in them, on top of them, besides their desires, is the thought, calculation, attitude to the Creator. But for them, what exists is just the light, the Creator.
This part, which occurs with respect to the Creator, here is called the head. The head, just like in a person. This is the intention. The intention. And everything else is the body of the soul. 613 desires. In Kabbalah, we study the construction of this body. It is composed of the head, which is called the Rosh, the middle part, which is called the torso, which is called the Toch, and the last part is called the Sof. Just like in our body, the head, the body or torso, and the ending, the lower part. Inside of it, there exists all sorts of parts. The Toch and the Sof are 613 desires. Three 365 desires are in the Sof. And 248 are in the Toch. And we have to gradually correct them. This is like the collective soul, which is called Adam. And each individual soul, each individual part is also composed of the same form, the Rosh Toch Sof, and its own little desires. The connection of souls between themselves, pyramidal, is like a pyramid. So we're not created equal by the Creator. There are souls. This is the common soul. There are souls which are in the top part, the middle part, and the bottom part, and they're completely different. And let's say we divide them like those that pertain to the upper part are less egoistic, those in the lower part are more egoistic, and with respect to this, they are corrected. If souls are less egoistic, then there are less of them. Less, smaller ego, smaller quantity. What do we need them for? Why do we need a lot of them if they have such a small ego? And here, we have a large ego and a large quantity. Now, onward. This is from one hand. On the other hand, all of these souls are connected among themselves, as we drew here, as Rosh Toch Sof. So, depending on what form the soul, what function the soul performs, this is what determines when it begins to feel its obligation to perform spiritual work. Let's say the soul here exists in some organ, some very important organ, which is called kidneys. And here is the liver. Very important organs, even though they're lower than the upper part. And here, let's say this is the stomach.
What am I driving at? It resembles our body. First and foremost, we have to restore, have to correct these crucial parts of the body, and the rest is not that important. The body won't live or die because of that. So these kidneys are being restored or being healed faster. The man begins to feel inside him a greater desire, aspiration, spiritual advancement than even a soul that occupies a higher place, even here, referring to mouth or an ear. It's not a simple dependence based on the level, the height, but also on the function. Which function the soul performs in respect to the whole system. Further, there's an interconnection of all these systems. Let's say this liver, in order to rehabilitate itself, it needs to restore, it needs to heal a certain part here. And souls that occupy that place, that on the first glance may appear insignificant, suddenly begin to feel spiritual renaissance, spiritual awakening, and begin to advance. And having corrected a little bit themselves a little bit, the liver can continue to correct, rehabilitate itself, and so forth, and can see it, observe it. Suddenly, we didn't expect such an explosion of interest in South America, Chile, Argentina, Mexico, and a lot of students, my beloved students, are there, and it's not clear. It's not clear how suddenly they heard, they found us. It's not clear. Turns out it's simple. Descendants of Indians, those that we've heard of being so far from Babylon, Babel, or the Middle East, and that whole development, suddenly they feel a very warm and very burning desire to be with us and to advance. Been in Chile, in Congress, know them well. They visited our center. And now we're planning a new Congress, future Congress in Argentina, and a large number of our friends are in this region. It's an example, and there are many more. And we can't understand it, and we shouldn't, because all of the souls need to reach their final correction. Therefore, what we have to do is simply to explain that general picture. Science came to us, originated from Babel, when we all are united in a small civilization, the same civilization. It dispersed on the surface of the globe. So what we need to do is just to reach that same unity we lost. Another question, question from the United States. What does it mean that our soul, our bodies are uncorrected? Our egoism is uncorrected. Egoism is called the body. All of 613 desires are called the body. They're uncorrected because they work for their self-benefit. And the state, when the little billions of souls work for them, their own self-benefit, present a huge cancerous body. It's actually eating upon itself. In order to restore ourselves, we need to correct each soul for the sake of bestowal for the everybody else. Love thy neighbors, thyself. This is the only condition of corrected functioning of the collective soul. We can learn it from technology, from any scientific knowledge. If there is a developed closed system, can only work correctly if on the condition of that all of its parts are correctly connected to one to each other and harmoniously working, means that all of people reach absolutely agreement, consensus, and a kind relationship between the other for just one goal, to hold themselves in harmony and balance with the general nature. How can I be in absolute harmony with the whole humanity? I can try to reach harmony with a few people and can see that's difficult with 7 billion. So the law is simple. Love thy neighbors, thyself. Relate to others as you do to yourself. And then you'll always know what to do, because you can always take a glance upon yourself. What you would do to yourself, so do the same thing to the others. And in this case, only in that case, the system will reach its balance and good state. Otherwise, it will self-destroy. Further, a question from Vasily from the Republic of Moldova. He asks, you said that we influence our environment with our mind, and our society influences our heart, but the thoughts are from the Creator. So where's the effort? The Creator only gives us with initial desire, understanding where we can learn the method that allows us to advance. This is what the Creator gives us. Nothing about that, and everything else we receive from Kabbalah, from the source. Suddenly, we have a certain burning within us. Suddenly it pushes you, it just stings you, causes you pain, and you wish to reach correction. It is your desire that you've received from the Creator, and additionally, He gave you the opportunity to sit and listen to the current lecture lesson. Also, you have books that you can read and can know everything. This pertains to the area of your own individual effort, of your own free choice. Having received that condition, that initial state, desire and the means to reach the fulfillment of that desire further, it's all in your hands. You have to advance. The Creator won't help you by nothing. It won't help you at all. And you have to take that math and realize it and correct with it all of your egoistic desire, make them corrected, altruistic, And only that you reach, well, then you will reach the goal of creation, and then you will reveal the Creator, this eternal, perfect force that fills the entire universe. You will become part of it. You will fill it. You will become as eternal, as perfect as the Creator, and you have to do it here and now in this world. If you won't be successful here and now, you will receive another opportunity until you reach that goal. Further, that leads us to the answer to the question: how could the perfect Creator have done so such corrupted and despicable creature? How he could made us, had created us? Now we can understand that our body, with all these little incidents and possessions, is not our real body. Since our real body, desire, the eternal and complete, already exists in infinity in the first situation, in the form of bestowal that pertains to the third state and equalized in form with the attributes of the Creator. And so, first situation necessitates that in the second state we need to have a corrupted desire. It doesn't mean that the Creator is to blame or not to blame, but it is determined by the necessity. Just observe. We have a system that is perfect. It has only the attribute of bestowal. Bestowal. And we are part of it. I. All of us. Right, us. And we are dependent. We are not free in that system. So how can we become equalized with Him? So the Creator separates, distances us from the system. How He can do that? In spiritual, there's no distance. He can do this by changing our attribute, quality. This quality we had here, He inverts to the quality of reception, right's reception. Now, if that attribute of reception we can use to traverse, to return all that distance, return back, doesn't mean to walk. It doesn't mean walking. We have to change it to become equivalent to bestowal. How can reception be equal to bestowal? If I'm receiving in order to bestow upon Him, why am I doing that? And now we can realize why all of that was done. The Creator wants us not just reaching the attribute of bestowal or reception, but to feel His attribute of love, of rights, love to us. And when we begin to have the same attitude towards Him, then our attribute of bestowal becomes equivalent to bestowal. All right, it's love below. If I'm receiving from Him, in order to please Him, because He loves me, and by receiving from Him, I'm giving Him pleasure, then my reception turns to be bestowal. I'm using His love. Just for that, I need to have the same attitude towards Him. That is why that uncorrected state was created, to give us the opportunity to reach the same love, the same attitude and attribute of the Creator, His attitude towards us, and then we merge with Him. Not just returning to the world of infinity and living there in certain form and become equal to the Creator. Adhesion means absolute equivalence. And then, by merging with Him, I occupy the same degree, His status, same degree as Him. And this is what He intended for us, what He wanted to give to us. So we need to observe that state between us, that interaction between us of giving and reception as the means. And that connection, His love towards us, and our possible love towards Him, that is not the means. That is the goal, reverence, the goal. We should by no means forget about it. Because on the one hand, I have ego, on one hand, and on the other hand, delight. All right, ego on the left, delight on the right. And if I'm working, if I'm putting myself, positioning myself between the delight and ego, I'm putting a screen, right? Screen. Make a first restriction, tzimtzum aleph, on it in order to elevate and to begin to relate from my I, not my ego, but my I, my heart, from it, to relate to the Creator. To have an attitude towards Him. I don't have an ego and reception. I have myself and Him. And between us, there's love. In other words, we are building above our egoistic ego, our egoistic self, about all these words, all these desires, pain, pleasure. We're building above it a new attitude. We're observing it as a means to build it. So that I will be able to rise up above all of that system, to elevate, to ascend to a completely different system of relationships. Whereas here, it's the means, and that is the goal. That's it. We obviously have a lot of questions. Yes, maybe you should choose something special for us. We have a question from Minsk, from different places, of course. A question from Grigory from Belarus, from Minsk. Dear Rav, many lessons you mentioned that throughout the egoistic spiritual development of man, his egoism grows. Now, describing to us the pyramidal structure of the world, says on the higher levels of the pyramid, the egoism is smaller than on the lower levels. How can I understand? There are referred into the relative weight of the souls. In our world, none is born equal. One is born smarter, the other stupid. One is lazy, the other is the opposite, and so forth. Everybody is born a set, different set of, everybody has the same set of qualities, but in different combination. And none is equal to the other, so you can't demand the same thing from all. You can't put them and everybody in the same line. It's absolutely wrong attitude. In life, everybody is different. Everybody is special. So we'll never be able to relate to a person correctly if we can't wait in his relative attitude to the others. How can we reach that? Only if we achieve that of the principle of love, then we'll give the person an opportunity to act from all your heart as if you love him. So he will then be able to make a contribution, his unique contribution, only in a way that only him can perform. You can't make them, you can't coerce him, because you can't know what he's capable of. It's absolutely wrong attitude. We should recognize that we are completely different people, and we shouldn't. This pyramid by no means diminishes those that are below. They have a great ego, and they are the carriers of that kli. Without it, you can't reach the pinnacle. And those who stand at the top are the trailblazers. They are pioneering that path in history. But as a compensation, they are in the world of infinity and are obligated to help everybody else by pulling them up to the pinnacle. This is a mutually connected, dependent system. We have a lot of questions from Europe before Congress. Yanis from Greece is asking you, is a national character represents a certain spiritual attribute, or each soul is the same? There is nothing that has of nationality and spiritual. We need to understand, we all come from Babel, a little civilization. We couldn't cope, we couldn't get together. And we dispersed there, we left it. And we occupied different territories on the world, of the globe, on the earth. We existed there for millennia, and that gave rise to different attitudes, tastes, and traditions. But actually, what we represent is the same root, all of us. We're all generated from the prototype of prototypical man. Therefore, all of us are egoists. In each of us, there's a different type of earthly egoism, all kinds of traditions in us. But as what has to do with spiritual, there's absolutely no difference. You can observe when people meet on the congresses, when coming from different cultures and countries, living in different continents for millennia. Let's say South American Indians, they represent the majority of the South American population. And Europeans, just as an example, people that are separated by millennia of separate development. But when we're talking about the point in the heart, the expression to the Creator, there's absolutely no difference between us, between them. When I close my eyes, not to see the corporeal form, if I can't see the language, all these external conditions, if I cancel them, it doesn't have any difference. Believe me, I can feel my students with my souls. There's no difference in souls. Soul doesn't belong neither to nationality, nor to inequalities that refer to a body that has been living for several generations in certain territory. So it has to say that we, when we unite into one spiritually, is not an earthly one. It's above corporeal, above all framework, all boundaries. Frederick from France asking you, why Europe so split, even if on the same continent? Why is it so? Why is it difficult to connect there? Because Rav responds, because it went through a lot of historical processes, and the souls were developing there fast, have been developing for millennia, for thousands of years, under the influence of Kabbalah, under the direct influence of the upper source. Therefore, Europe went through a lot of difficult periods of its development. So, and also, what you observe now is absolutely different from what was in the past. If you take Germany, it was split in recent history. It was split into various counties and kingdoms and states. And Spain was divided, and there was Sicilian Republic, and there was England, which was divided. All kinds of countries that existed. Now Europe is more united, even though egoism is developing and pushes people apart, people can see there's no point in keeping on to holding on to certain traditions that divide between people. Let them stay. The traditions can stay, but they shouldn't divide and separate between people. And we hope that our Congress, where I hope to see our friends from France as well, will serve as means to unite. And if we can reach people's unity in Europe. And it will happen after the Congress, not in Congress itself, but afterwards when they begin to work and connect to one another. And then they can see that only through that connection they can reach spiritual development, spiritual revelation, only thanks to the connection between them. They should overcome their alienation between them, and they can see that through that connection, over and above their differences, conducts to them the upper light. Manuel is France asking, can a soul can stay which was stuck in the Abiya into Sitra Achra and not passing to the worlds of sanctity? Yes, it can. You can read about that in the book of Zohar, but these parts of the book of Zohar are not translated into other languages. It's only in Hebrew. I hope that in a few years' time we'll be able to finish complete translation of the whole of Zohar, not my book, the Zohar, the part that was translated into Russian and English. It exists in English, Russian, and Hebrew, but the whole compilation of Zohar, and I hope that we will be able to complete that work over the next 2 years and can see how there everything is explained. There are certain souls that have to go through their life cycles, through Klipot, through the shells, and certainly these are not pleasant states. Question from Alexei from Odessa. Why person, actions and thought are divided differently from the Creator? The Creator, there's no separate action and thought. Just imagine if you could operate with your thought. You have a thought, and that thought immediately implements into action. So that action is immediate and doesn't necessitate any time for its implementation. The thought I had right now, and it realizes. It's not like that. It's not that there's a thought and after that there's a realization. The thought itself is realization. Such is the Creator. Why? Because He is the only source that exists, and we are its consequence. And therefore, there's a distance inside us between the thought and action, between the cause and effect. It goes through all kinds of resistances within us, and as shells, that these impure forces, they extend the distance as a rubber between the cause and effect, thought and action, and that gives rise to time. The moment that we can compress the distance between the action and time, the thought and action, the time disappears and we can reach another dimension. This is what I'm wishing for you as well. We have a question from Dmitry from the town on Tratsit from Ukraine. How can you determine your own place in the pyramid and the system of levels? Can there be a time when a person can determine his exact positioning? Yes. A person can exactly pinpoint his location in the system of the tile ladder of the worlds. As soon as he enters that degree, he immediately understands how it works, and all the other degrees begin to clarify before him, and from here little degree he can see all the rest to the extent that he can determine them, define them. As a small baby, he can feel the world and understand something in the proportion and the level that he can understand, but before him there's the whole system and he uses it, all of it, and so he actually inhabits that world consciously. It means that the moment that we pass that barrier between our world and the spiritual world, the soul of man begins to teach him. He doesn't need to learn from the books. He, on his own, begins to feel that world, that spiritual world, and pass and traverse it, being pulled, being driven by that mutual interaction between himself and the Creator. They're passing through it as a small kid is next to his parent. he occupies, he begins to get acquainted with that world, so we can reach that. And it all depends on to the extent that we can unify between us, to the extent that we can spread our Earth method all over the world so that additional people will connect to us through their souls and their hearts. And my warmest welcome to you, and we'll see you in the Congress. Bye.